Okay, well, welcome everyone to our second installment of the I'm sorry we missed last week, but I'm happy to be back on this week, and what I hope to do is to condense what would have been two shurim into one, and in so doing this evening to complete our study of the laws of the status of Shemitah nowadays, Shemitah b'zman hazeh. Let's just begin with a quick review of last shir, and then we'll be able to move on to new material. Last time we began by seeing the history of the laws of Shemitah. They did not begin until the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, and they also did not begin immediately when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel. Rather, they only began once the Jewish people had not only conquered, but completely settled the land so that each family of Klal Yisrael would have their own land and farm, about which it could then be said that in the seventh year they wouldn't work. That process of conquering and settling the land, Chazal teach us, took 14 years. So after that 14-year period, then the Shemitah cycle began. That cycle is obviously, by definition, a seven-year cycle, and therefore, as the Rambam and Chazal tell us, in the 21st year after the Jewish people had entered the land of Israel was the first Shemitah that was observed in history. The natural order of things is that that should be a cycle which continues then every 7 years forever. And in fact, it did, at least until the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the expulsion of the Jewish people from that land. That expulsion and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash brought up a very important question, which we saw last time, which is what is the status of Shemitah once the Jewish people lose sovereignty over the land, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. This is the subject of a major debate, and in fact, that debate is also echoed with a similar debate about the status of the land of Eretz Yisrael after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews were expelled again a second time. In theory, one could see these questions as being interconnected, and therefore whatever answer one gave for the first Beis HaMikdash destruction could have been the same for the second as well. But as it happens, we saw last time, the Rambam and the majority opinion actually argues for a split decision, meaning to say that after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Kiddusha Rishona Batla, namely the first Kiddusha, was only good as long as the Jewish people were in the land, but when we were evicted from the land and sent it to Golus, the special Kedusha that obligates us in Halachos, such as Truma and Meiser and Shemitah, became null and void. However, the Rambam rules, when we came back into the land of Israel in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and we built the second Beit HaMikdash, the land reacquired that extra dimension of Kedusha, and Kedusha Shnia, Kidusha la'asad lavo, in the Rambam's terminology, that Kedusha remains forever, indefinitely. That Kedusha is not nullified by the fact that we were kicked out of our land and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That Kedusha is operative to this very day and certainly will be there, Meheri Yabana, when the third Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. With that background, we are now ready, as we began seeing last time and we will complete tonight, we are now ready to consider what effect all of this has on our observance of Shemitah. The way we transitioned into that specific question, and to review again now, made clear that prima facie, our assumption would be, based on that ruling of the Rambam, that if the Kedusha is still omedes, it is still operative, we would assume, barring evidence to the contrary, that all of the mitzvot hatzlios v'aretz, and most notably for our purposes, Shemitah, would be obligatory mid araisa even in our day. We began towards the end of last year to see that things might not be so simple based on an opinion in the Tanaim, the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe is cited in a number of Gemaras and other sources with an interesting drasha, Ze Dvar HaShmita Shmot, quoting that pasuk, B'shtei Shmitos HaKosov Medaber. Rebbe noted the two different Shmitas, which we have yet to precisely define what those are, but he noted that based on his understanding of that somewhat awkward text in the Chumash, he said that implies that there is a period when Shmita is applicable, but a period when it is not applicable. We want to pick up this evening with a fuller exploration of the opinion of Rebbe, first so we can understand him, and then, of course, secondly, to see if we paskin like him. To give you another example of a text where Rebbe is cited, and I'll be reading inside from the source sheets. If you have not done so yet, please contact the technical support. They have copies of the source sheets, which they can email you. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav discusses the institution slightly off the topic, so to speak, but basically in the general family of Shemitah, and that is the notion, the same as documented institution, known as the Prizbol. The Prizbol relates not to working the land, of course, but to the other part of dimension of Shemitah, namely Shemitah's Ksafim, the idea that from the Torah, any outstanding loans that were owed before the end of the Shemitah year, and yet were not paid, they're overdue loans. So those loans, Midaraisa, are canceled at the end of the seventh year. Sometimes people are confused. They think it begins when the Shemitah, actually not how we paskin. We paskin is it's only at the end of the Shemitah year, or Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, when the loan would be canceled. Be that as it may, we're all familiar with what the Mishnah really in Gittin tells us. It's also in the Yerushalmi and the Masechta Shviyos and the Mishnah is there, that Hillel Hitkin Prizbol. That Hillel made a contract, without getting to the details of how it works, but Hillel made a rabbinic document whereby the Malva and the Lova, the creditor and the debtor, could make an arrangement and thereby negate what would be otherwise the natural power of Shemitah, and the loan would not be canceled. The Gemara here in Gittin asks the obvious question, who gave Hillel the power to do such a thing? If Midaraisa, the loan is canceled, let's take a high-stakes case, $1 million mortgage. That's not small potatoes. If, according to the Torah, for whatever reason, why, the rationale is not our topic at all today, but for whatever reason, if the Torah has determined that that loan is null and void, who gave Hillel the right to step in and say that Reuven still owes $1 million? It's a simple question, but a powerful one, and it's one that the Gemara asks. The Gemara answers here by invoking none other than our Rebbe. Abaye says, "B'shvius b'zmanazeh." Hillel was only talking about a time when there's no Beis Hamikdash after the Korban. The Rebbe he, and he's based on the opinion of Rebbe, the Tanya, and he quotes the drasha of Rebbe, that by Shmita Shmot, the Shtei Shmitas Akasas Medaber, etc., etc. And one of them being, says Rebbe, Shmitas Karka, Shmitas Ksafim, says Rebbe, that's what's being spoken about here. And therefore, Bizmash Atamashamit Karka, Atamashamit Ksafim, Bizmash Iatamashamit Karka, Iatamashamit Ksafim. Rebbe understands that nowadays, seems like Midaraisa, there is no Shmitas Ksafim anymore. Namely, again, let's be clear, this is a little bit confusing, but we'll try to be clear. If there is no Shmitas Ksafim, that means that the loan still remains. The same person who owed $1 million before Shemitah owes $1 million after Shemitah. Shemitah should cancel it, but according to Rebbe, that doesn't hold true anymore because it's Bizman HaKorban, there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no sovereignty in the Jewish, in Eretz Yisrael anymore. There is no Shemitah. If that's the case, then nothing has been canceled. And if that's the case, then the question is almost begged, why did we need even a Prizbol? After all, the loan is still operative. So the Gemara continues and says, "Inu Rabbanan the Tishmit Zechel Shvius." Wow! According to Rebbe, there is no Shemitah nowadays. Therefore, the loan should be operative. But Chazal came in and said, "We are going to reinstitute Shemitah Ksafim as a Zecher L'Shvius. We don't want people to forget this biblical institution known as the sabbatical, as the Shemitah, and therefore we want to rabbinically re-empower, reinvigorate, and reinstitute Shemitah." Practically, what does that mean? That the rabbis have said a loan which would be on the books got wiped off the books. But again, why now, according to this understanding, why is the loan being wiped off the books? Not because the Torah did it, but because the Rabbanim did it. And in a classical Talmudic and halachic argumentation known as Haim Amru, when it's the rabbis who said one thing, they also have the power to build in, if you will, an escape clause. If it's only the rabbis who are canceling the loan, comes Hillel, and Hillel says, I, a fellow rabbi, a fellow member of Chazal, have the power to institute a device known as Prizbol, which reinstitutes the loan. It's negated by the koach of the Chazal, but it's reestablished with approval of the Koach of Chazal. I don't want to get bogged down any more than we already have in the details of Prusbol, but suffice it to say, Prusbol is something which we all heard of. The reason we've heard about it is because Prusbol, the institution of Prusbol, is accepted lahalacha. Any of us who are involved in such financial relationships will certainly be recommended come the coming Elul, before Tishrei going into the eighth year, to fill out a Prusbol with any debtors that we may have. That's certainly an institution that has been accepted lahalacha. And comes Abaye in our Gemara in Gittin and tells us, this halakhic institution, which we still employ to this very day, what is the predicate of it? What allows it? None other than the Shita of Rebbe. So certainly Rebbe seems to be a very powerful opinion, and the bottom line is Rebbe seems to say that Shemitah nowadays, at least Shemitah's Ksafim, is only rabbinic. Now, with all of the drushes, Zedrar, Shemitah, Shmot, if it's a little bit unclear to you, it's okay, because I've been intentionally vague in explaining exactly what that means and why that works. It's a little bit of an awkward drusha. And what we want to know now is, what exactly was Rebbe saying? What did he mean by it? So there is a minority and a majority understanding, two different understandings of this very important opinion of Rebbe. For now, we'll use it to understand Prusbol, but of course, we will momentarily, hopefully, bring it back to the issue of working the land, which is our primary focus for this series. The minority understanding of Rebbe is one that is offered notably by Rashi. Rashi, if you'll take a look at the next source on your sheet, Rashi in the Gemara in Gittin tells us, why does Rebbe say that nowadays the loan wouldn't have been canceled, Shvita wouldn't have applied? Says Rashi in a few succinct words, Akshav Shabbatla Kedusha Sa'aretz. Rashi says that the reason is because nowadays there is no more Kedusha in the land. In other words, what Rashi is doing, which is elegant in its simplicity, but its simplicity may make it very questionable, what Rashi is saying is, leave aside all the details of Rebbe's drasha, in the end of the day, what's Rebbe saying? Rebbe is saying that this goes back to the machlokes of whether nowadays there is Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael or not. And apparently Rebbe, unlike what we said as we reviewed at the outset, Rebbe apparently holds that nowadays there is no more Kedusha Sa'aretz. There is no more Kedusha Sa'aretz, there's no more Shemitah. That's obvious. In other words, according to Rashi, he has cut through a lot of the clutter, but perhaps he has reduced it to too simplistic. Because according to Rashi, what would emerge is that Rebbe is not really adding anything new, other than that Rebbe is making a decision. He's poskening, like the opinion that Kedusha Shnia is Batela, that there's no more Kedusha. The problem with this is that if that would be the case, why didn't Rebbe say that? Why does he have to give a whole drasha? It's a little bit unclear. And the other point which would be difficult with Rashi is that we prefer not to have to explain Rebbe in a way that conflicts what is generally considered the acceptable opinion, the accepted opinion, that namely that we hold that the Shemitah now, excuse me, that Kedusha nowadays, the second Kedusha of Ezra Nehemiah, is operative. Rashi would make Rebbe's opinion in opposition to that. Those are the two basic reasons why Rashi, even though, as I said, there's a certain elegance to his simplicity, cuts through the clutter, but it's also very questionable if Rashi's correct. If Rashi is not correct, so then that begs the question one more time. What is the basis for Rebbe to say, ostensibly, that despite the fact that there is Kedusha, there still may not be an obligation to keep Shemitah nowadays? In order to find a second approach to Rebbe, which is in fact a more majority understanding, let's take a look at the next source. Really, there's two of them that we could see. We'll only see one. One is the Yerushalmi in Masech Tashvias, and the other is a Gemara, but let's just focus on the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi reframes Rebbe, more or less it's identical, but adds one key phrase which will make it more clear for us. Yerushalmi here is talking about Shemitah's Karka, that's number one. It's not just talking about Prusbol or the monetary component of Shemitah. And Yerushalmi says the following. Tetani, Zed Dvar HaShemitah Shmot, quotes the Pasuk, Rebbe Omer, Shnei Shemitin Halalu. There are two Shemitos here. But now, according to the Yerushalmi's version, it becomes a little clearer. Namely, Shemitah V'Yovel. Yerushalmi is explicit that the two things we're talking about are Yovel and Shmitas Ksafim. Because after all, which part of which Shmitas Karka, in that sense, really has no similarity when we say two Shmitos. Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Ksafim are both called Shmita, that's true. But they're fundamentally dissimilar. One has to do with canceling loans, one has to do with not working land. There's no connection between those. Yovel, which means that the lands go back to their original owner, has obviously a very striking similarity with the notion of a loan being canceled. Just like a loan is canceled, property ownership, in a sense, is canceled, the land goes back to its ownership, to its original owner, So the Yerushalmi says it's those two things that Rebbe was connecting. Now, it's true that Shmitas Karka, work in the land, is learned by extension, but the point which is relevant for us is that Yerushalmi introduces Yovel as the basis of Rebbe's drasha, and then he continues. Only when Yovel is Noheg, is Shmita Noheg mid Araisa. Paskwa Yovelos, but if for whatever reason there's no more Yovel, Shmita Noheges midiv Rehen. Shmita also would not be obligatory mid Araisa, rather only midiv Rehen, only mid Rabbanon. We now have a whole new possibility, which we need to flesh out, but we're now obviously under completely different parameters. According to this understanding of Rebbe, it has nothing to do with the general machlokes of the Kedusha nowadays. After all, as we have been assuming, based on last year, the Kedusha nowadays may be mid-oraisa. But apparently, there still may be a reason why A, Yovel is not practiced nowadays, and B, once Yovel is not practiced, Rebbe apparently posits an inextricable connection between Yovel and Shemitah, such that once Yovel would be inoperative, for whatever reason which we haven't mentioned yet, Shemitah would also be inoperative. Now, first of all, just so we're all familiar and clear, why is it, and in fact this is the halacha, it's a Gemara, Masechta Erechim, you have on your source sheet, why is it that Yovel nowadays is not operative? So the Gemara in Erechim tells us, you see in the bottom part of it where I have it underlined, the pasuk about Yovel says, Kol Yosheveha Aleha, that Yovel is only practiced when all the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael. The lob is man shegolim mitzosan, but once you don't have either any, or according to some opinions, at least a majority, but perhaps even any of the representative Jewish people in the land of Israel, Yovel no longer applies. Kol Yosheveha Aleha is a halacha in Yovel. When you don't have that, b'zman she'ein Yosheveha Aleha, when you don't have all of the Jewish people living in Israel, there is no Yovel. Once there's no Yovel, which is not debated, comes along Rebbe, and he is certainly a controversial, debated opinion, but Rebbe says, once you have Yovel, that's the predicate. What follows is an inextricable link to Shemitah, and Shemitah would fall by the wayside as well. Most Rishonim, in fact, understand Rebbe based on this idea in the Yerushalmi, that Rebbe is positing a connection, an unbreakable bond between Shemitah and Yovel, and once Yovel falls by the wayside, Shemitah does as well. In fact, the Tosfos in Maseches Gittin, which I have on your source sheet, in the fourth source on the page, Tosfos says not only does he believe that the Yerushalmi is correct, he believes that that's really what the Gemara and the Bavli in Gittin about Prisbol meant as well. Rashi apparently didn't understand that Gemara that way, but Tosfos thinks that Rashi misunderstood the Gemara, and that it's not just the Yerushalmi who thinks it's because of Yovel. Tosfos says everyone agrees that it's because of Yovel, even the Bavli. Perhaps Rashi's right about the Bavli, perhaps Tosfos is right. But whether it's just from the Yerushalmi as connecting it to Yovel, or it's even from the Bavli, Tosfos and many others do believe that, in fact, this is a correct understanding of Rebbe. Namely, that according to Rebbe, the basis of the drasha is Yovel. Namely, even though Rebbe might agree that the Kedusha Shnia is still operative, there is Kedusha Saaretz nowadays, but Yovel, because of the pasuk of Kol Yosheveha Aleha, is not practiced, number one. Number two, what follows because of the unbreakable bond between Shemitah and Yovel is that once Yovel is not practiced, Shemitah is not practiced either. And that would be the opinion of Rebbe. Two understandings of Rebbe. Is it because of the general issue of whether there's a kedusha in the land, the minority opinion of Rashi, or is it because even if there is kedusha, but we now have learned of a new connection between Yovel and Shemitah, and that if Yovel is not practiced, Shemitah won't be either, the majority opinion represented by Tosfos and others. That is the debate. Be that as it may, we now have to ask ourselves the next crucial question. Whatever the explanation of Rebbe is, now that we know he's on the books, the question is, the million-dollar question, who do we paskin like? Rebbe, who was admittedly in a minority opinion, it seems, or the Rabbanan? The majority opinion seems to be, in the Chazal, that Shemitah should be no different than the other mitzvot atzlius baretz, and if we paskin, as we do, that nowadays there is kedushas aretz, Yovel should, excuse me, not Yovel, Shemitah should follow. Or do we paskin like Rebbe, as understood by Tosfos, that no, even if there is Shemitah, but because of Yovel's connection to Shemitah, nowadays Shemitah would not be practiced. How do we paskin on this crucial question? And that is really what I would like to dedicate the remainder of this year to, seeing the different opinions. So what I would like to sketch out for you is the following. There is a three-way machlokas to this question. I want to share with you representatives of all three of those schools of thought. And then what I would like to say for the last part of this year is the Shita of the Rambam, because there's a huge debate about where in this scheme of three Shitos, which one does the Rambam hold like. As we will see, as complicated as this topic may have been until now, the Rambam's position is at least as complicated in and of itself, if not more so. So let's begin by seeing the non-complicated Shitas, but certainly a machlokas, three different opinions of whether we paskin like Rebbe or not, and how that plays out in terms of the practical question of what is the obligation of Shemitah nowadays. And then, in the remaining time, we'll focus specifically on the very fascinating question of what is the Shita of the Rambam. Okay. If you take a look at the next sheet, which should be your second source sheet, you will see a beis at the top of the page, and you will see a reference to the Sefer HaTrumos. The first opinion, which is represented, certainly a minority opinion, represented probably by two Rishonim, perhaps more, but two notable Rishonim, but only two, perhaps. That is, in the Sefer Trumos, quoting the Baal HaMa'or, as you see on the top right, Harav Zerachia. The Baal HaMa'or is Zerachia HaLevi, more well known by his predominant work, the Baal HaMa'or, but his real name was Harav Zerachia HaLevi. And in the second source, you have the comments of the Ravid. We are more familiar with the Ravid in his Hasagos, his critique of the Rambam, but it's also known to scholars of the Talmud that we have extant in a number of Masechtos, the Ravid also with critiques, Hasagos, but not on the Rambam, but on an earlier authority of the Rif. And here I have on the second source for you, the Hasagas HaRavid on the Rif in Masechet Gittin. The Ravid and the Baal HaMa'or, interestingly, both from the same region in France, the Provençal region of France. I'm not sure if that's why they agree or not, but they are both in the same area. The Ravid and the Baal HaMa'or both have the following hardline extreme position. Let's take a look. The Sefer HaTrumos quotes of Zerachia HaLevi, who says, how do we paskin? She'eino noheg akshav. There is no Shemitah nowadays. Why? Because, obviously, of the opinion of Rebbe. How does the Baal HaMa'or understand the opinion of Rebbe? It's clear, if you read the continuation of that first line, based on the connection to Yovel. He understands Rebbe, as we said, is the majority opinion, that it's all based on Yovel. And we know that there is no Yovel nowadays. That's an explicit Gemara because of the pasuk of Kol Yosheveha Aleha. And therefore says the Baal HaMa'or, and it's worth reading a line here because it's striking language, says the Baal HaMa'or, once we know that there's no Yovel, E'efshar lomar chazru shmitin v'lo chazru yovelin. We can't say that there is Shemitah but no Yovel. Shemata omer, if you would have said that, then ikarta ubitalta Kesher shel kayema, shakasher hakasuv, v'talon, zu b'zu. very striking language. Says the Bala Ma'or, there's a Kesher Shel Kayama, vivid imagery, a unbreakable bond, as we said before, between Shemitah and Yovel. Tolan Zebazed, they're interdependent, says the Bala Ma'or. And therefore, if one goes, the other must necessarily go as well. If there is no Yovel, says the Bala Ma'or, we must paskin like Rebbe, there is no Shemitah either. And therefore, he explains, that we paskin like Rebbe, there is no Shemitah nowadays. Take a look on the second source, the Ravid is a little bit more succinct, but he says the same thing. Kayim alon k'Rebbe, we paskin like Rebbe. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that we really don't have to keep Shemitah at all nowadays? We paskin like Rebbe, there's nothing? So they hold, and the Ravid says it explicitly, to kuhu nidus chasidus ka'avdei. Amazing. According to the Ravid, and it seems the Bala Ma'or as well, in their extreme understanding of Rebbe, there is no obligation whatsoever to keep Shemitah nowadays. Ah, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you read the newspapers, everyone's talking Shemitah this, Shemitah that. According to the Ravid and the Bala Ma'or, all of that is only a midos chasidus, or a minhag at best. It's a chasidus, it's a chumrah. An old chumrah, but a chumrah nonetheless. It's not obligatory whatsoever. That is one extreme. Certainly the most lenient understanding of Shemitah, no obligation whatsoever. Why? Because we paskin like Rebbe. Why do we paskin like Rebbe? Because of the Kesher Shel Kayama, the unbreakable bond between Shemitah and Yovel. Therefore, there's no obligation. At most, a minhag or a midas chasidus. That is the first opinion on one extreme. Second opinion, also a minority opinion, but is on the other extreme, and that is represented by the Ramban. I mentioned to you that the Ravid is sometimes critiquing the Riff, so in good fashion, the Ramban, much if not all of the Ramban's scholarly work, interestingly enough, and scholars actually have written about the Ramban, he was very a traditionalist. He would defend the earlier authorities. The personality of the Bala Ma'or, interestingly, was he was very much a critiquer. He was attacking earlier authorities, and the Ramban, by his nature, it was coming to defend. The Ramban has the Melchamos, where he's defending the Rith. The Ramban in Chumash is defending Chazal from the way he sees his attacks of the Pashtunim of earlier generations. So Ramban is a traditionalist in that sense, or a defender. And the Ramban here also defends positions, does not like the Ravid. He thinks that the Ravid is being too much of a renegade, too rebellious. And the Ramban says that that's way too hard line. After all, how can you paskin like Rebbe? Rebbe is a minority opinion. And therefore, he quotes, if you take a look on the third source of the sheet, the Ramban says, I know that there are other opinions who do hold that there's no Shemitah nowadays. They said, it's crazy, how could you say such a thing? After all, we paskin, as he says in the second line, the divrei omer shlishas elam shviyas devar Torah, the trumus of maestros. If you hold that there's kedushas hazman nowadays, kedushas haaretz, excuse me, if you hold that we have a kedusha, so then there should be shmita. Ah, you'll tell me, Rebbe says, even though there's kedusha, there's this yovel thing? Says the Ramban, why are we paskin like Rebbe? Rebbe is a minority opinion. After all, look at the last line of the Ramban. Hadvarim ma'arin shehu dvar Torah. Shemitah nowadays is midaraisa. V'chein adin. That's how we should paskin. The Rebbe yichidoi hi v'let hilchos akavasei. Says the Ramban, very traditional legal analysis. Yes, it's true that Rebbe holds it's not obligatory nowadays. But so what? Rebbe may be interesting to learn, fascinating to analyze, but Rebbe's a minority opinion. We don't paskin like Rebbe. We paskin like the majority opinion. What's the majority, more sensible opinion, says Ramban? Simple. We want to know, is there Kedusha Saharitz nowadays or not? If you would say there isn't, then of course there would be no Shemitah. But since, as Ramban says, since as we saw last week, we do paskin that there is Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, since we know that already, therefore, says the Ramban, we assume that just like there should be Truma and Meister Midaraisa nowadays, because of the Kedusha, so too there should be Shemitah nowadays because of the Kedusha. The opinion of Rebbe, says Ramban, simply, we reject Rebbe. So where are we at this point? We have two extreme opinions. On the one end, we have the opinion of the Balamor Ravid, who says, no Shemitah whatsoever, at most a Minhag, at most a Midas Chasidus. On the other extreme, we have the Ramban, who says, Shemitah nowadays, Midaraisa, not just an obligation, but a full-fledged obligation, which you can imagine will bring with it, if we accept the Ramban, all sorts of stringencies and chumras, because we're dealing with a V'araisa obligation, according to the Ramban, no different and no less than when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Now, I have mentioned repeatedly that both of these opinions are not only extreme, opposite, but extremes, but they also both represent minority opinions. The overwhelming majority opinion of Rishonim is to disagree with both. Not that there's nothing, only a minog, and not that it's midaraisa, but rather to thread the needle, so to speak, to take the middle position. What is the middle? The middle position is to accept that we paskin like Rebbe. So in that sense, to reject the Ramban. But not to understand Rebbe in the way that the Ravid and the Balamor did, that there's nothing, and therefore at most only a minog or a chasidus, but rather, actually, as the Gemara seem to be truer to Rebbe's own words, not that there's nothing, but that Rebbe holds there is an obligation of Shemitah, but that it's only midrabanan. Now, it's true that midrabanan is far less than midaraisa, but it's still obligatory. It's a bona fide chiyuv, just only a rabbinic chiyuv. That is a far cry from the Balamor and the Ravid who hold it's only a minhag. So in that sense, the majority opinion agrees with, but disagrees with, parts of both of the other shitas. On the one hand, it agrees with the opinion of the Balamor and the Ravid that we paskin like Rebbe. On the other hand, it disagrees with them because it understands that even according to Rebbe, that doesn't mean that there's nothing. They hold it means it's a derabanan. Just to give you an example or two of this majority opinion, I could give you many opinions, but just to give you one or two, take a look at the bottom of your sheet. I have for you, for example, the Sefer HaChinuch. Take a look in the third line. The second line after the end of the second line after the period. The Chinuch says, Avol bezman she'ena yovel noheg. When there is no yovel, ein shmitas karkos uksafim noheges midaraisa. We don't have a chiyuv daraisa of shmita, whether it be of the agricultural variety or the financial variety. Not shmitas karka or shmitas ksafim. However, says the Chinuch explicitly, Avol medivrei sofrim. There is a rabbinic obligation, noheges shmitas ksafim. Afilu b'zman hazeh, afilu b'chol makom, k'eshla tishkach, taras ha-shmitas ksatim mei Yisrael. Shmitas ksatim applies anywhere in the world, not just Israel, and of course the agricultural component, shmitas karka, is limited to Israel, but that, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is relevant b'zman hazeh, only mi de rabbanon. It's not just a minhag, it is a chiyuv mi de rabbanon. Furthermore, take a look at the Sefer HaYireim, one of the Rishonim who lists Mitzvos, one of the Moni HaMitzvos, the Sefer HaYireim, in his listing of the Mitzvah of Shemitah, tells us that on the one hand there's no more obligation midaraisa, because no more Yovel, but then he says, B'shash Shehayovel Noeg, when there is no Yovel, Shemitah Noheges, Midivrehem. We still have Shemitah, Midirabanan. Ukud Rebbe, as he understands Rebbe, the Kaim Le Hillel Kavasei. How do we know we paskin like Rebbe? After all, didn't Ramban say Rebbe's only a Yachid? Says the Yireim, yes, that's true. But we don't need to make that decision on our own. After all, the great Hillel, early Tana, Hillel in the Mishnah already said we passed like Rebbe. After all, Hill instituted Prusbol, as the Gemara explained, the basis of Prusbol is Shita of Rebbe. So if we accept Prusbol, then perforce, we must be accepting the opinion of Rebbe. But Rebbe is understood as saying there's a chiyuv, but only midrabanan. Not daraisa, true, but also not only a minhag or a midas chasidus. He says the middle position, which the majority of Rishonim accept, that Bizman Hazeh is their Shemitah. The answer is yes, but it's only Midrabanan. Okay, that is a quick summary, so to speak, of the three different positions that are represented by the variety of Rishonim. Two minority opinions on the extreme, and the majority opinion that Shemitah nowadays is obligatory, Midrabanan. Let's use the remaining time that we have, about 20-25 minutes, and let's see the very complicated, but I think very fascinating, really fascinating opinion of the Rambam. If you take a look at your next source sheet, on top of the page, this is the one that says Shemitah Bezman Hazeh number 3. If you take a look at your next source sheet, you will see three Rambams in succession. And let's begin by seeing these three Rambams, because we will see that in the three Rambams here that talk about the question of Shemitah nowadays, we seem to have contradictory impressions and given contradictory evidence. On the one hand, the Rambam tells us in Shemitah v'Yovel, Perek Dalid, the following. Ein Shviyas Noheges Eleberetz Yisrael Bovad. That we know, that's easy. Shemitah, the agricultural halachos of Shemitah are limited to the land of Israel. V'Nohages, says the Rambam, they are relevant. Bein v'snei habayis, bein shelo v'snei habayis. What does that mean? It's a weird kind of a terminology. As far as I know, there's only one other time that the Rambam uses a similar language. Noheges bein v'snei habayis, bein shelo v'snei habayis. Simple understanding seems to be that the Rambam is telling us the Shemitah applies whether you have a Beis HaMikdash in front of you or no Beis HaMikdash. B'snei HaBayis, Bein Shalom B'snei HaBayis. Whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or not, Shemitah is operative. What is the mashmaos of this statement then? The impression you get clearly is that the Rambam is telling us Shemitah is neither a Braisa. And the truth of the matter is that we would expect the Rambam to hold this way, based on what we saw at the end of last week's shiur, and we reviewed at the beginning of this week's shiur, that the Rambam clearly paskined that there is Kedushat Eretz Yisrael nowadays. So if there's Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, whether it's a Beis Mikdash or not, we're sad, but it l'chora has no relevance to whether there's Shemitah. And that seems to be what we would have expected the Rambam to say. It seems to be what he does say. And if this is all we had, it would be nice, neat, and tidy, the Rambam would have held. Kedusha nowadays, yes. Shemitah therefore nowadays, yes as well. The problem is that the Rambam has two other sources where he seems clearly to contradict this impression. Later on in the same Halachos of Shemitah, in Perek Tes, the Rambam tells us here he's talking specifically about Shemitah Ksafim, the cancellation of loans, and the Rambam says clearly, Umidivrei Sofrim, it's only rabbinic. Shatei Shemitas Ksatim no Heges Bizman Hazeh V'chol Makom. That there's only Shemitas Ksatim nowadays, yes, it is operative, but only Mirabonin, he's clear. Why? He continues, Afal Fishen HaYovel no Heg, even though there's no Yovel, Kedesh Lo Tishkach Tar Shemitas Ksatim Me Yisrael. So we don't forget. What is he introducing? Yovel. Who talks about Yovel? Our good friend, Rebbe. In other words, here in Perek Tes, the Rambam is clearly telling us, we paskin like Rebbe. There's a bond between Yovel and Shemitah. No Yovel, no Shemitah. And therefore, there should, ostensibly, be no Shemitah Ksafim either. He adds, P.S., we do have a Shemitah Ksafim either Rabbanon, Shelo Tishkach, because we don't want this to be a forgotten mitzvah from the Jewish people. But bottom line, how do we paskin? Apparently, like Rebbe, Shemitah nowadays, Midivrei Sofrim. Again, in and of itself, a very legitimate opinion. But one simple and major problem. It seems to contradict the Rambam's earlier statement in Perek Dalid, where the Rambam said that Shemitah nowadays, being B'shalob of Nabayis, was operative, which sounds like it was Daraisa. Compounding that problem is one more comment that the Rambam makes in the next and final Perek of Hilchos Shemitah, in Perek Yud, when the Rambam here talks l'chaora explicitly about both Shemitah Ksafim and Shemitah Karka. Here the Rambam tells us, so really, Midah writes, there's a thing called Shemitah. But as much as Yovel Noheg, but once Yovel is no longer operative, Eina Noheg Echad Mikalelu. There's no Shemitah Ksafim or Shemitah Karka. Chutz, but we do have an exception, that they are both relevant, Shviyas Ba'aretz, Hashmatas Ksafim B'chol Makom, Midiv Rehem, rabbinically. Why? Here he doesn't tell you, he just says, Kemoshev Yarnu, as we've explained, presumably referring to his comment one parak earlier in parak test, based on Yovel, based on Rebbe, Shlo Tishkach Taras Shmita Mei Yisrael, so we shouldn't forget. Put together, combining these last two comments, the Rambam seems to be clear in Perek Tes and Perek Yud that there is Shemitah nowadays, but it's only Midah Rabbanan like Rebbe because of Yovel. In and of itself, perfectly understandable. The problem is, how do we reconcile these clear statements with the clear implication of the earlier statement in Perek Dalid, where the Rambam seemed to say that it was Midah Araisa? I hope the question is clear. If it's clear, then you'll realize it's a powerful one. The Rambam seems to contradict himself. In the first citation in Perek Dalet, he seems to say it's Daraisa, but in the final two citations, Perek Tes and Perek Yud, the Rambam very clearly says it's only Midah Rabbanan like Rebbe. The question is simple. Does he pass like Rebbe or doesn't he? Does he hold this Daraisa nowadays or Derabbanan? There are varying opinions, as you might have expected, about this question. The first and primary one that is most well known was offered by the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah, as is perhaps known by you, the Kesef Mishnah is authored by Rav Yosef Karo, author of the Shulchan Aruch, and it is his commentary on the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah is a very lengthy piece, which I've excerpted, but even my excerpt, as you can see, is quite big. Trust me, this is only a fraction of the actual piece. It's a very lengthy piece. The Kesef Mishnah addresses themselves to these questions, and the Kesef Mishnah takes a very strong and hard-line approach. Says the Kesef Mishnah, Perek Dalid, the first citation of the Rambam, that is the dominant one. And what was the impression that we got there? The Shemitah is the Oraisa nowadays. Says the Kesef Mishnah, that is in fact correct. Take a look here at the third line where I have it underlined. We'll read you a brief excerpt. Says the Kesef Mishnah, Umei Divrei Rabbeinu Po, from the Rambam's words here in the fourth parak, Nirushu Sover, Ta'av Shalobeth Ne'abayis, even though there's no more Abayis Hamegdash, No Heges Menatorah, there is Shemitah nowadays, Midah Araisa. Upasak Ha'idah Torah Kohanim, Vishim Damashma Da'hika Chachamim, Plagei Le'ed Rebbe, V'halacha Chachamim. I, that rejects the Rebbe, says the Kesef Mishnah, just like the Ramban said, Rebbe's nice, we have a great respect for Rebbe, but so what? He's only a minority opinion. The Rabbanan argued on Rebbe, and just like the Ramban said, the Kesef Mishnah says, here the Rambam agrees with the Ramban, and that they both think that Rebbe is a nice but minority opinion. He's rejected, and therefore Shemitah nowadays is Midah Araisa. I, the Kesef Mishnah continues, he's not oblivious to the fact that the Rambam has other comments which seem to contradict this comment. So here the Kesef Mishnah has a very novel and, I would say, debatable solution. But the Kesef Mishnah says that those other sources that we read where the Rambam says that Shemitah is Midah Araisa, those were only talking about Shemitah's Ksafim. Until now, we've been putting it together. Shmitas Ksafim, Shmitas Karka, Karka Ksafim. Says the Kesef Mishnah, in a novel approach, we must split the two apart. Rebbe, according to the Kesef Mishnah's original interpretation, Rebbe only had his opinion that Shemitah nowadays is Midah Rabbanan, when he was talking about Shemitas Ksafim. After all, how do we know we passing like Rebbe? Hillel. Hillel was talking about a Prizbol. Shemitas Ksafim. There the Kesef Mishnah says, you have no argument, it's only the Rabbanan. But when do we but we don't have to worry about Rebbe, even if we hold like him. But the Kesef Mishnah says even Rebbe never meant to say the Shemitah's Karka was Midrabanan. Even Rebbe was limited to Shemitah's Grafim. Even Rebbe agrees that Shemitah's Karka is the Araisa. Now, there are two major problems with this suggestion. Number one, in all of the primary texts that quoted Rebbe, we never, ever got this impression. None of the earlier Rishonim ever understood Rebbe this way. It's very, very difficult to assume Rebbe meant this way. But I would posit, personally, that even more dochuk, even more difficult for the Kesef Mishnah, is the fact that the Rambam himself, although not in Perek Tes, but in Perek Yud, the Rambam explicitly equated the two. And the Rambam clearly in Perek Yud, as we read a few moments ago, said both Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Kafim are both connected to Yovel and both there for Midrabanan. To me, the Kesef Mishnah, while supportable based on the Rambam in Perek Dalet and Perek Tes, but the Kesef Mishnah becomes very, very difficult, with all due respect, if you try to put together Perek Yud as well. Be that as it may, that is the well-known, famous Shita of the Kesef Mishnah. I want to bring to your attention that there is another opinion that agrees with a slight variation, and that is the Aruch HaShulchan. You may be familiar with the fact that the Aruch HaShulchan is a classic work of Halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan often, because of the chronology of his publication, put together with the Mishnah Berurah, it's a little bit older, but not much, as a contemporary Sefer Halacha of the last century. However, it's worth noting that the Aruch HaShulchan that we're all familiar with is only on the four Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch. It has nothing to do with Kachin and Zroim, the type of topics we're discussing. What's not as well known is that the Aruch HaShulchan also wrote an additional volume, which he entitled, optimistically and we hope prophetically in a sense, Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid. The Aruch HaShulchan he's writing for the future, Meheri Yabana, when there'll be a Beit HaMikdash. And there he writes about the Mitzvot HaTzlois Baretz and Kachim and those type of topics, the Beit HaMikdash, etc. And there he has a whole section on Hilchos Shemitah. Aruch HaShulchan, in a sense, agrees with the Kesef Mishnah, and that he paskins that nowadays Shemitah is the Oraisa, and he assumes that the Rambam agrees that Shemitah is Mida Oraisa. After all, if you take a look on the bottom of the first page, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Rambam in Perek Dalet. As we saw, he agrees with the Kesef Mishnah that that's how he reads the impression of the Rambam in Perek Dalet, that it is Mida Oraisa. Aye, what about the other sources? That he doesn't really help us with so much. What about Rebbe? So there, he has a slight variation of the Kesef Mishnah. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, yes, it's true that Rebbe was across the board. Both Ksafim and Karka, he held a Derabanan. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan, we, not Rebbe, Rebbe may have held them both together, but we split our decision. We only paskin like Rebbe, as Hillel taught us about Shemitah's Ksafim, but we reject Rebbe when it comes to Shemitah's Karka, and we hold like the majority opinion that it is Midaraisa. In other words, left to our own devices, we might have rejected Rebbe for both accounts, Elamai, but Hillel already told us, we obviously give great deference to Hillel, that we paskin like Rebbe when it comes to Shemitah Ksafim, and therein is the basis of the Prozbul. But Ein Lachabor Lachidusha, we're not going to stretch it any further. If Hillel wants to paskin like Rebbe about Ksafim, that's fine, says Aruch HaShulchan. But we're not going to paskin like Rebbe when it comes to Shemitah Karka. Similar, with a slight difference, to the Kesef Mishnah. The bottom line, though, was according to both the Kesef Mishnah and the Aruch HaShulchan, bottom line, what is the Shita of the Rambam? They hold, according to the Rambam, Shemitah's Karka, working in the land, is nowadays Mida Araisa, like the opinion of the Ramban. In our remaining time, a little over 10 minutes, I would like to conclude fundamentally by sharing with you the difficult but very important, fundamental, and fascinating approach of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker. This is one of the well-known chidushim that Rav Chaim has at his legendary Sefer, his Bir HaRambam. Like most of his works, or if not all of them, it's difficult, but Lefum Sara Agra, I think if we try to work it out, it'll be worth the effort because it really is very characteristically brilliant and original and creative. If you turn the page to Oth Gimel on your next sheet, you will see two more Rambams. Before we can make the problem better, the Rav Chaim makes the problem worse. We've already seen three Rambams. Rav Chaim introduces two other Rambams. First, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Rambam's talking about the Beis HaMikdash and the halachos that are relevant. And the Rambam says when it comes to the Kedusha, once Ezra came and Nehemiah and they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, there was Kedusha in the land. And therefore, he says in the underlying part, the Rambam, Aval Pisha Nilka Ha'aret Mimenu, even though the land was taken from us, the Chayev B'Shvius, the Maestros, were still obligated. And it's notable, he explicitly says in Shemitah and in Maaser, but then the Rambam says something very quizzical. He doesn't explain why, even though we could have guessed, but he does not explain why. What does the Rambam say? Al Haderech Shebi'arnu Behilchos Truma. He quotes himself. He says, go see what I said in Hilchos Truma. That's the explanation for the status. So let's take a look. Back. What does the Rambam say? Hilchos Trumos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chavav. Now, we would have expected him, whatever the explanation is, to say that Truma and other things are Daraisa. That's what he led us to believe. We get to Hilchos Trumos, and we are given a great surprise. Says the Rambam, HaTruma Bezman Hazer, nowadays Truma, even in parts of Eretz Yisrael, which are definitely Midaraisa with Kedusha, definitely have Kedusha nowadays, they were re-sanctified by Ezra. Nevertheless, Ein Hamin HaTorah, there is no Torah obligation for Truma nowadays, Ela Midivrehem, it's only rabbinic. Wow! Why is that? Totally unexpected. A totally surprising shock. Rambam himself in so many places has told us that nowadays there is Kedusha. If there is Kedusha, shouldn't Shuma be Daraisa? So the Rambam continues second line. It's only true Bizman Shekol Yisrael Shom. And all of the Jewish people are in Israel. Shinamar Kisavou. The Pasuk says Kisavou, when you will come to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Rambam, what does that mean? You need Bi'as Kulchem. Need the Jewish people to be entirely in Eretz Yisrael, like they were when the Yerusha Rishona, when Yehoshua settled the land. In such a case, you have full Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, and Truma is obligated. Furthermore, says the Rambam, Meher Yabana, that's what it'll be, Ba'at Osid, Lachzor Yerusha Shlishis, when the third base of Mikdash in the time of Mashiach is. However, in the interim period, and importantly, he says, including the time of the second Beis HaMikdash when they were living in Eretz Yisrael with Ezra and Nehemiah and an operative and existent Beis HaMikdash. But you didn't have Bi'as Kulchem. As we know, a majority of the Jewish people stayed in Bavel. They never came to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Rambam, even in Bayesheni, Truma was only Durabanan because you were missing this point of Bi'as Kulchem. Then continues the Rambam in conclusion, it's not only Truma, Chayin Yirali, it's also true, the Maestris, She'en Chayav Mazmanazah, Elen Midivrehem, Ketruma, also only Midirabanan like Truma. Now, aside from the obvious surprise of the Psak itself, one little point worth noting before we get to the major points. The little point is that here in Chokos Trumos, the Rambam only makes this point about Truma and Maestr. What does he not make the point about? Our topic, Shemitah. On the other hand, the Rambam does, in the first source, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, explicitly mention Shemitah. And then he has sent us to Trumas. So what are we to make of the fact that in the first source he talks about Shemitah, sends us to the second source, but in the second source didn't mention Shemitah? So we have many, many questions, and we'll try in our remaining few minutes to give you a brief summary. We won't have time to read it inside, although you do have the source here inside, at least an excerpt of it, of Rav Chaim. But I will try to give you, I hope, a clear and cogent summary of Rav Chaim's Chiddush. With all of these questions, Rav Chaim tries to make the following suggestion. Number one, he points out that we have a bigger problem than we had previously noted. The Rambam has this creative idea that because of the pasuk of Kisavohu, therefore Truma and Meiser needed Bias Kucha. For those of you who are experts in Tanakh, or at least in the Ta, in the Chumash, pray tell, where is the pasuk, where is the phrase of Kisavohu written? About what mitzvah? Says Reb Chaim, it's mamish pilei ployim. As difficult as the Rambam is, it's even more difficult. The Rambam tells us, kisavo, therefore no truma nowadays. Says Reb Chaim, but take a look at the Chumash. Kisavo, if you look in all the parshas of truma, kisavo is never written. There's no kisavo about truma. Where does kisavo come from? The parsha of Shemitah. The Rambam borrows a phrase, a pasuk about Shemitah, and employs it about Truma. What is going on? So says Rav Chaim, as best as I can summarize in our 5 remaining minutes, the following. I'll try to take you point by point. Says the Rambam. Says Rav Chaim, the Rambam understood that there's 2 similar phrases in the Chumash that are fundamentally different. Yovel has a pasuk, Kol Yoshveha Aleha. Shemitah has a pasuk, Ki Savohu. Number one, says the Rambam, there's a fundamental difference. Kol Yoshveha Aleha, about Yovel, is a very much what we would call a technicality. There is still full 100% Kedusha. But what can you do? Technically, there's no Yovel, Kol Yoshveha Aleha. However, says Rav Chaim, the Rambam understood that when it comes to the second din of Kisavohu, that's not just a technicality. What the Rambam was saying is for those halachos which are connected to this din of Kisavohu, Bias Kulchan, having the Jewish people in the land of Eretz Yisrael, is not just a technicality, it is a fundamental requirement for the Kedusha. The Rambam says that there is Kedusha Eretz Yisrael nowadays. Says Rav Chaim, there's a fundamental question of Kedusha, but then there is a functional, so to speak, if I can use the term, question of Kedusha. Yes, in some general sense, the Rambam is the author of the opinion, so to speak, or the most well-known exemplar of the opinion that there is Kedusha nowadays. However, that's only in general or in theory. But when it comes to the practical issues, says Rav Chaim, the Rambam understood that certain halakos have a din of Bias Kulchan. And if you don't have all of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael for those halakos, then le'inyin those halakos, not only do those don't apply, but not because of a technicality, because we don't have full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael for those halakos. That is the thesis of Rav Chaim. And even though the pasukim or the phrases sound similar, they're actually quite different. Kol Yoshveh Aleha is Yovel, a technicality. Kisavo'u Bias Kulchem means there's a fundamental lack or incompletion to the Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's point number one. Point number two is, says Rav Chaim, yes, it's true that the pasuk of Kisavo'u is written by Shemitah. But the Rambam understood that since Truma and Meiser are, by definition, dependent on the counting of Shemitah, after all, the halachos of which Trumos or Meisers have to be given on a given year, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, things like that, that depends on the Shemitah cycle. And therefore, even though they're different halachos, but says the Reb Chaim, the Rambam understood that they all go together. Shemitah, Truma and Meiser, they're all dependent on the 7-year cycle. And therefore, they all go together. Yovel has its own 50-year cycle. Shemitah has its Shemitah is its own 7-year cycle, which Truma and Maaser are dependent on. And therefore, the pasuk of Vakisavo, Biaskuchen, as Rav Chaim and the Rambam say, that is written about Shemitah, but is just as relevant to Truma and Maaser. If you put it all together, Rav Chaim says, what is the Rambam telling us? What the Rambam is telling us is that even though generally speaking there is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael nowadays, but since we're lacking, and we were even lacking, amazingly, says the Rambam, we were even lacking during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, since we're lacking Bias Kulchem, we don't have all the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael, L'inyin Zos Halachos of Shemitah, as well as Truma and Maaser, there is not complete Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Shemitah is only Midirabanon, Shemitas Ksafim, and Shemitas Karka. Getting back to the three Rambams we started with, this is perfectly in keeping with what? With the halacha of the second two quotes of the Rambam, Perek Tes and Perek Yud, where we also thought that the Rambam says it was Midirabanon. The first quotation of the Rambam in Perek Dalid, the truth is, there's a very easy way to read that, unlike, until now we've been biased because of the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah said, Bizman b'snei habayis bein shelo b'snei habayis, that meant when the Beis Mikdash was standing or nowadays. But let's think about it. What is actually not only a plausible, but arguably a better reading of the Rambam, is what was it talking about? When they were in Eretz Yisrael, not only when there was a Beis Mikdash, but in those years before a Beis HaMikdash was ever built. Bein b'snei habayis, shelo b'snei habayis. After all, what did we say? When was the first Shemitah kept? 21 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. Was there a Beis HaMikdash then? Not at all. As the Rambam says, Shemitah bein shelo b'snei habayis, before there was a Beis HaMikdash. All of those years until Shlomo HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash, says the Rambam, Shemitah was operative, even though shelo b'snei habayis. That's true. But once Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, then we have a new status. Now that the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, now we have, and it's not so much the Beit HaMikdash, but we lack Bias Kulchem. After all those years after Yoshua came in until Shlomo, we had Bias Kulchem. The Jewish people were all living in Eretz Yisrael. It was only after the Churban, where not only did we lose the Beit HaMikdash, but for our purposes, more importantly, we had a diaspora, the Jewish people were dispersed, and there was no longer a Bias Kulchem. So therefore, according to Rav Chaim, again, it's very creative and potentially very debatable, but the advantage, the brilliant, characteristically ingenious advantage of Rav Chaim is that if you accept the way he puts it together, then we actually have a resolution for not 1, 2, 3, 4, but 5 difficult Rambams all work together somewhat seamlessly to combine for this whole position a new, entirely different approach to the issue, but ultimately work together to come out to the conclusion, according to Rav Chaim, that in the Rambam's opinion, Shemitah nowadays is, like the majority opinion, only Midirabanan. So to conclude, I hope it's been clear to anyone. As I mentioned last time, you can feel free to email me if they have any questions or want to have a follow-up discussion. But to conclude, we saw the opinion of Rebbe, we saw that there's a three-way machlokes, minority opinion that accepts Rebbe in the extreme, and therefore there is no Shemitah nowadays other than maybe a minhag or chassidus. The Ramban on another extreme says we reject Rebbe, therefore it's midaraisa. And then we saw this huge debate about the complicated shita of the Rambam, both the Kesef Mishnah and the Aruch HaShulchan, and perhaps others that we don't have time to discuss now, they felt that even the Rambam held, like the Ramban's minority opinion, that it's the Araisa. And then we have the complicated but ingenious approach of Rav Chaim, who understood the Rambam as saying that even the Rambam agrees with the majority opinion in Rishonim, that the Rambam also holds, although perhaps for his own reasons, not because of Rebbe and Yovel, but because of his own reasons of Bias Kulchem, but nevertheless, despite Rav Chaim's original explanation of it, the bottom line would be, according to Rav Chaim, that the Rambam agrees with the majority opinion that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Midirabanan. In fact, if you look at the next and final source sheet, you will see from the tour in the Beis Yosef that bottom line, halacha lamaisa, how do we paskin? We paskin that nowadays shvita is a chiyuv, but only a chiyuv midrabanan. We accept the majority opinion. That being said, that sets the stage for us, Emir Tashem, to pick up with next week and the following 2 weeks after that. For our next 3 weeks, we complete the series. We will then be transitioning from the theoretical, so to speak, or academic discussion we've had until now to the very practical question, assuming that nowadays Shemitah is Midrabanan, is it tenable to have what has become known as the Heter Mechira, the legal loophole, which would get around the obligation of Shemitah and allow work on the land to go ahead as in previous years? As I'm sure you all know, on some level, this is controversial and debated, and Emir Tashem, in the next 3 weeks, we will get past the rhetoric and the politics, so to speak, of the issue, and focus on the substantive issues and understand where this debate is centered and how it is carried out. But there's a direct connection between our topic tonight and that next 3 weeks, because the underlying assumption of all of those who are lenient, who are makil, and allow the Heter Mechira, it's all based on the assumption that Shemitah nowadays is only Midrabanan. Even the biggest proponents of the Heter Mechira, if Shemitah nowadays would be Daraisa, all of them would yield and would say we can no longer have Heter Mechira. It's a tremendously complicated legal loophole which only gets off the ground as a possibility if you hold that Shemitah is Midrabanan. But as we've seen, that is the majority opinion, so that opens the door for the possibility of the Heter Mechira. Whether that possibility is an actuality or not, Emir Tashem will have to pick up with that next week. Thank you very much for listening. Have a good week. I look forward to learning with you next week. Kol Tov.